Acts chapter number 4. I want to take a few Wednesday nights, and I would like to deal with the subject of our witness and just, you know, sharing our faith with others. And I want you to be comfortable with that. And I want to go through some things with you here on Wednesday nights that I think will be an exhortation, but then also instructive and a help to you. So in Acts chapter 4, the backdrop for this chapter is chapter 3. And you gotta read chapter 3 to understand what's going on here at the beginning of chapter 4, because the backdrop to this is that Peter and John, two of the apostles, went to the temple there in Jerusalem to worship. And when they went in chapter 3 to worship, they encountered a crippled man, a man that was lame. And in verse 2, chapter 3 now, I'm in chapter 3 actually, verse 2, it says, "And a certain lame man from his mother's womb," so this guy had been lame from birth, "he was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple," which is called Beautiful, "to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." He was a beggar. He would lay there and he would beg for money. And so Peter and John go to the temple and they encounter this crippled man. Well, through the power of God, they heal this man. And naturally, it creates quite a stir. If you look at verse 8, it says, "And he leaping up stood and walked." He leaping up stood and walked. "And entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." I think that is so cool. Verse 9 says, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." And so they're filled with amazement. Peter and John used this event as an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with the entire crowd of people. The crux of their message is in verses 14 and 15. Look at it with me. It says, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead." And then notice this phrase, "whereof we are" what? "Witnesses. You crucified Christ, but he did not stay dead. He was raised from the dead." That's what they tell him. And then he says in verse 15, "whereof we are his witnesses." His witnesses. Sometimes I'll encounter that group. They call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. Have you ever met Jehovah's Witnesses? And of course, Jehovah was God's covenant name with Israel in the Old Testament. And they'll say, "We are Jehovah's Witnesses." And whenever they tell me that, I always smile real big and I say, "Well, it's great to meet you. I'm a Jesus witness." And I do that on purpose, you know, because I want them to know we're not living in the Old Testament and we're not Israel, okay? We're living in the New Testament. We're living on this side of the cross. And the apostles said, "We are his, we are Christ witnesses. Tonight, we're Jesus witnesses." You know, and you need to remember that. We are Jesus witnesses. I'm going to show you another verse in a moment that talks about how we are his, Jesus's witnesses. So, when I do that and I say, "Well, it's nice to meet you, I'm a Jesus witness." Of course, they're taken aback. Ooh, you know, oh. You're one of them, you know. And I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being truthful. I am a Jesus witness, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm a Jesus witness. And I was thinking about this. What is a witness? I'll bring up a picture here. When you think of a witness, maybe you think of this, right? Somebody on a witness stand, we call it. And if you look up the word witness in the dictionary, and by the way, while I continue this, I'd like for the first four rows here. One, two, three, four. We'll go there, maybe five. We'll include you guys, okay? I'm gonna pass to you guys a message, all right? It's on this sheet. And I want you to pass it, okay, to each other. First four or five rows. Okay, Jan, can you, all right? Can you keep a secret, Jan? I know you can't, but no, you can do it this time. All right, so you're going to start that around, then let Carlton see it after he, and then I want everybody to see it, and I want you to know what the message is, okay? And we're gonna deal with that here in a minute. Now, what's a witness? I want you to think about that, okay? What's a witness? Well, I'll bring it up on the screen. Can we go to that? Number one, the dictionary says that a witness is one who attests to a fact or an event. Let me ask you something. Were the disciples, Peter and John, were they attesting to a fact or to an event? Yes. You crucified him, and he's raised from the dead, right? All right, the dictionary says, number two, that a witness is one who gives evidence or testimony. Were the disciples giving evidence and testimony that Christ is risen from the dead? Yes. Yes, they were. Number three, the dictionary says that a witness is one who has a personal knowledge of something. Isn't that neat? I love that. You know, that's right from the dictionary. One who has a personal knowledge of something. Question, did Peter and John have a personal firsthand knowledge of Jesus Christ and what they were talking about? Yes, they did. They did. They knew. They were giving firsthand knowledge of Jesus Christ and who he was. Christ had saved them. He had changed their life. Therefore, they could be his what? His witnesses. See? Now, the question is this, as we look at those definitions. Do you have a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ tonight? Well, I hope you do. You know, I hope you have a firsthand personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, it's not going to work to just have mom and dad's knowledge, is it? You know, well, my mom and dad are saved, you know, or my grandparents are saved. No, you need to have a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. Does Christ's Spirit live inside of you tonight? You know, then you have a personal knowledge. Has Christ saved you and has he changed your life tonight? Then you have a personal, firsthand knowledge. And if that's the case, God's plan, now hear this, God's plan is for you and I to be one of his what? Witnesses. Go to Acts 1, chapter 1. Turn back to Acts chapter 1. And the very last words Jesus ever said to the disciples is found in verse 8, Acts 1:8. Last words of Christ before he ascends to the right hand of the Father. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be, notice what? Witnesses unto me. Now, Peter and John are dead. They're gone. In fact, all the disciples, apostles, are dead and gone. There are no apostles today. They're all dead. So Peter and John are going to be his witnesses. Who's going to be his witnesses? Somebody tell me who. We are. We'll go to 1 Thessalonians. Keep your bookmarker in Acts here. We're going to come right back. But go to 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to one of Paul's books. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And after that, we're going to flip back to Romans, which is right after the book of Acts. Romans 1, 1 Thessalonians 1. We'll go ahead and hit 1 Thessalonians and work our way back to Acts. Look, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And notice with me verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 1:8. He's talking about this church you know from Sunday morning, right? We covered Thessalonica Sunday morning. Paul went there, led a lot of these people to Christ. They not only heard the gospel, remember Sunday morning? They not only heard it, they saw Paul's life. They saw his team's life. And the Bible says that the gospel came not in word only, but you know what manner of men we were among you. Remember all that Sunday morning? And it always scares me when I ask you if you remember, and everybody goes, you know, whenever I say, do you remember, just make me feel good and go. All right, so Sunday morning, we just covered the Thessalonians. Paul went there. Remember, a great multitude of Greeks believed. And And then, but I want you to, here's what I want you to see though, is that these people who verse 9 says they turned from idols to serve the living and true God, okay, so God had changed their life, they knew they were supposed to be witnesses. Because look up at verse 8. It says, for from you sounded out, man, I love that phrase, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, that's where they lived, but also in every place. Man, your faith to God were to spread abroad. He said, man, your faith, it's just going out everywhere, everybody, so that we need not to speak anything. Paul said, man, you guys, you are just spreading your faith everywhere. You know, and that's what it's all about. Now, go back to Romans chapter 1. And those Thessalonians, man, they got that God changed their life and they weren't going to shut up about it. They were going to sound out the word of the Lord. That's God's plan for Crossroads. God wants us to sound out the word of the Lord, you know. And I'm not talking about me doing it on Sunday morning. 90% of the people here are saved Sunday morning. 95 maybe. 98, I don't know. But, you know, most of the people here Sunday morning are saved. And that's okay. I understand that in order to want to come to church, you usually got to be saved first, you know. So I understand that, and that, I'm not saying that's wrong. But what I'm saying is, when we talk about sounding out the word of the Lord, we're not talking about one guy up on a stump preaching. We're talking about the members of Crossroads going out, fanning out into this community, and you touching the lives that you come in contact with, and you being a witness where God has planted you. That's what I'm talking about. And that's God's plan. If the Word of God's going to be sounded out in Port Orange and Daytona and South Daytona, Holly Hill, Ormond Beach, DeLand, you know, all these different areas, it's going to be through you. See, it's going to be through the people. Look at Romans 1:8. Romans 1:8, Paul writes to the Roman church here, and he says in verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the what? This church was having a worldwide impact with the gospel. This is Missions Emphasis Month. And I mean, we've heard about a report from Dominican Republic and Guatemala and Iceland and now Las Vegas here in the States. We're going to hear about Alaska. We're going to hear about other reports that we're going to bring to you. And that's great, because God's plan is that our faith be spoken of throughout the world. God wants us to spread our faith. All right. This is your time to shine, first five pews. On the count of three, you tell me what the message was. Just shout it out. One, two, three.
Jesus saves.
Jesus saves. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Now, I want you to think about that just a moment with me. I started out by handing that to one person, right here, who then passed it to a person, who passed it to a person, who passed it on to it, and the message was spread, worked its way back. And the people back on the fourth row wouldn't have known the message if the person on this row wouldn't have passed it on. Had somebody along the line not passed that along, then everybody would not have known. Is that not the way the Christian life works? You know, is that not how it works? You know? How can we be better and more effective witnesses for Jesus Christ? And I want to say this to you. Most of us struggle with this, and I think that if we're honest, most of us struggle with being a witness. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, why is that? You know, why? I think there's two things that we really struggle with as Christians, if we were honest about it. Not everybody, but most of us struggle with two things. We struggle with our prayer life, and we struggle with being a witness. And, you know, I was thinking, why is it that you can announce that we're going to have a Bible study, and typically you can always get a pretty good group of people? But if we're going to have a prayer meeting, it falls way off. And if you're going to have a time and say we're all going to meet up at the church and we're going to go out and we're going to witness for Christ, the crowd drops way off. You know, why? Why? And I was thinking about that. And I thought, you know, I think it's, you know, prayer deals with our upward relationship with God. It's upward focused. Witnessing is outward focused. And Bible study is more inward focused. Bible study comes easier for most of us because it's a lot more personal in the sense that there's immediate fruit. You know, you study something and you learn and it's cool and you're like, wow, I just learned something new and man, that's neat. And we like that. There's immediate response, immediate action, immediate fruit, if you will. Inward edification. Whereas with prayer, there's not immediate gratification there. Sometimes there is. I mean, sometimes you just pray and man, I mean, just peace floods your heart because you take a burden to God. And I mean, there's just immediate. But a lot of times we pray about things and we don't see immediate results. And you don't just see something happen right away when you get done praying. Now, sometimes you do. Like I said, sometimes just God just does a work in you when you pray. And you know, but not always. Like I said, sometimes it takes a while. And the same thing with witnessing. We don't always see immediate fruit. When you witness, a lot of times it takes a lot of repeated attempts. And it takes some fortitude to stay with it because you witness to somebody and they don't want to hear it and then you witness again and you know and a lot of times, well, most of us in here, how many times did we have to hear the gospel before we got saved? You know, so it's not an immediate thing. Bible study, like I said, I think we'd much rather go to a Bible study than to say, hey, we're going to meet up at the church and go out and hit the streets and witness like she did there in Las Vegas, you know? Or we're going to meet up at the church and pray for an hour, you know? And I think we struggle with this. So I want to take a few Wednesday nights and I want to deal with this subject. And I want to learn from the disciples. Okay, now I understand that and go back to Acts 4, if you would. Turn back there. I understand in Acts 4, Paul's not saved yet. There's been no revelation of the mystery. The church age dispensation hasn't even been revealed yet. And I understand all that. But there is so many things that we can learn about witnessing from the 12 here in Acts, in the early part of Acts, that I think some principles that will help us to be better witnesses. And there's just no doubt about it. And so I want to cover some of these. I'll probably only get through one tonight. But the first thing I want to bring out, and I really want to hammer this tonight, is that when we witness, our witness to people must revolve around a person. Now, we know who that person is, right? He said we are his witnesses. Who are the his? Right, who is he talking about when he says his witnesses? Jesus Christ. We're his witnesses. Now, our witness has to revolve around a person. Now, again, we struggle with this because we can more readily invite someone to church than to tell them about Christ, right? It's less intimidating to say, hey, I go to Crossroads and I want you to come to my church than it is to tell them what Christ has done in your life and that they need to be saved. Because when you start talking about a person, when you start talking about Christ, you know, right away, some people are like, woo, you know. And they're not necessarily receptive to that. But yet, we got to understand that you can start out with church. That's a great icebreaker, is to say, hey, I go to Crossroads, and I love my church. And man, I'm learning the Bible there. And I would love to have you come with me. Do you go to church anywhere? Well, no, I don't really go to church. I haven't gone in years. Really? Well, where'd you go to church when you went? Well, I mean, you know, and that can then lead into, man, the reason I love to go to church so much is I'm learning the Bible, and the reason why I like to learn the Bible is because there was a time in my life when I didn't care anything about the Bible. But now I do. And it's because, and then you go into your salvation testimony. See? And you gotta get it, you gotta turn that conversation towards a person. Towards Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, who is the only one that can change their life? Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you how the disciples did that. They heal a lame man. Well, would y'all agree with me? That's a pretty good icebreaker, huh? Now, we're not going to be able to do that. We're okay. We're not apostles and we're not in the Acts time period. So you're probably not going to be able to do that. All right. But for them, that was a great icebreaker because it really got people's attention. Verse 11, it says, look at verse, I'm back in chapter 3 now. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 3, verse 11. It says, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So, man, I mean, they had people's attention. So what did they do? They immediately turned that conversation towards Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Now, chapter 4, they get into trouble with the religious leaders of the temple. And notice, when they're finally kind of put on the witness stand, so to speak, and look at verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7, they do the same thing again. They turn the conversation towards Christ. Verse 7, it says, and when they had set them in the midst and asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Boy, that's a loaded question, isn't it? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even him doth this man stand here, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They turn the conversation to Christ. Look at verse 33. Verse 33. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness. Notice, witness of what? There's that word witness again. Notice, God gave them witness of the resurrection of who? The Lord Jesus. See? And great grace was upon them all. There's no doubt about it, folks. The passion of these guys' lives was Jesus Christ. That he was their passion. And every opportunity they had, they talked about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if we're going to be better witnesses for Christ, then we got to get a hold of that principle. We've got to be alert. We got to be looking for opportunities to talk to people about Christ. We've got to talk about our faith. We have to put spiritual concepts into everyday words. You know, according to Romans 10, and you guys I think are familiar with that passage. In Romans 10, it teaches there that people are not going to figure out the message of Jesus Christ on their own. They're not going to figure it out on their own. What does that passage say? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure some of you remember that, Romans 10. It says that, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, right? And then it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's not talking about a pastor. When it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? That's talking about just somebody, a witness, whose life's been changed, who will proclaim what Christ has done. A preacher is a proclaimer. Can you be a proclaimer? Yeah. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing. They got to hear it. Hear it. They got to hear it. And hearing by the word of God. So somebody's got to explain the gospel. Somebody's got to spell it out. Who God is, what kind of damage our sin has caused, and what the answer to that is. How to receive forgiveness of sins. How to receive life that Christ offered. But in order for all that to happen, we got to take the initiative. We've got to take the risk. We've got to steer discussions towards spiritual topics. You got to get in the habit of that. Now, we pray for opportunities to do that, but then we watch for them throughout the day. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that we have opportunities? Now, be honest. Do you think we have opportunities every day to inject Christ into our conversations? Do we always take it? We do not. We do not. I was talking to a guy recently. I shouldn't say this with my wife here, but it was at a donut shop. and I was talking to the guy behind the counter at the donut shop. And I said, hey, man, I said, do you go to church anywhere? And he said, no. He said, I don't go to church. And I said, really? I said, well, I told him I pastored a church. I'd love to have him come. And he said he didn't go to church. And I said something to the effect of, do you believe in God? He kind of hem-hawed, yeah. He said, I was raised Buddhist. He said, but I don't really practice it. And I said, well, you know what, man? I said, you really need to think about a relationship with God. I said, because one day, you know, if you die, I said, there's a God. You're going to have to face him. And I mean, I was smiling. He was smiling. It was a good, positive conversation. I wasn't offensive at all. I just said, you know, you're going to have to. And he kind of smiled and said, yeah, you're right. And I said, look, man, I said, if you ever want to talk about your relationship with God and with Jesus Christ, I said, I want you to know I'd love to talk to you about that. And he said, okay. And then somebody came in and was in line behind me. But I, you know, we get opportunities. You know, it's like when you're chewing the fat with somebody, all right, and you start talking about what hobbies you do in your spare time. You know what would be cool? Include some ministry-related thing that you do. For example, somebody says, yeah, well, so what do you do? And I said, well, you know, you say on the weekends, I like to fish and work with sound equipment. You know, if you work the soundboard, you say, yeah, I like to fish. I like to work with sound equipment. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to inquire about that one, aren't they? Oh, really? You work with sound equipment? We, what do you mean? And you see, and then that leads into, you know, well, I go to my church and blah, 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 you know. And or you can use that for anything, you know. Whether you work with Walk Through Bethlehem Construction or decorating or cooking or whatever you do for the church, music, you know. You know, if you're Constance and you start talking to somebody, you know, about your hobbies or what you like or don't like, you say, yeah, on weekends I like to do this, and then I like to sing. Sing? Where do you sing? Ha ha. So, you know, or how many of you work in some type of children's ministry? Maybe Awana or something. How many of you? Well, okay, tons of hands. Tons of them. A lot in the balcony. Great. Can you imagine if you're talking to somebody and you start talking about your kids or whatever, and you say, oh yeah, man, kids can be a challenge. And then you say, but you know what really keeps me on my toes is watching 40 of them every weekend. Their mouth, you know, goes open. You watch 40 kids every weekend? Well, yeah, and you tell them about what you do at church, you know, and your Awana class or whatever it is you do, you know? And so what I'm trying to do is, I guess I'm just trying to, I'm trying to help you to be creative to see how you can inject your faith into your conversations with people. And, you know, say you meet somebody and they're going through a common trial that you've been through. What an opportunity. The most natural thing in the world is to tell them how you've been helped by your relationship with God and the wisdom from the Bible and your church friends and your, you know, and so forth. You know, what a, that's a natural thing to tell them, oh, yeah, I've been through that too. And man, I tell you what really helped me, you know. Every day we have conversations with people that provide us with a chance to raise topics of faith. But most of us, we really aren't prepared for that. When other people ask us, hey, how you doing at work? We give a standard, safe response. You know, we make the mistake of assuming people aren't really interested in spiritual truth. They don't want to hear that. But I want to submit to you, there are many people getting tired of living a life without an ultimate purpose. There are people out there that are like Cornelius that are searching for answers. Many times they're searching in all the wrong places, you know, but they're searching. I was in Pinchapenny, and I was in there recently, and I was talking to, and all of a sudden I struck up a conversation with a guy, and man, this guy is a worker there. He was so interested in spiritual things. Remember, I came out and I said, I had the opportunity to witness to the guy there. And I mean, I couldn't hardly get out the door again, you know, which is fine. He just kept wanting to talk and ask me questions. Isn't that exciting? You know, this is a young man, probably in his 20s, real interested in spiritual things. He had me write down the website of the church. And when I told him about how we have sermons online because he works Sunday, I said, man, you can go online and listen. And I mean, just totally open, you know? And man, I mean, this guy was intimidating looking. I mean, he's big. I mean, he's a huge old guy, this wide. I mean, big old guy looking down at me, you know, and the beard. And I mean, I'm like, you know, but here's just a tender heart. Just a tender heart, you know, searching. Would you all agree with me? Only Jesus is the one that can bring people salvation, forgiveness of sins, the overcoming the guilt that people have out there. People are plagued with guilt. Only Jesus can bring peace with God. Only Jesus can bring assurance of eternal life, where you're going to go when you die. Only Jesus can give meaning and purpose to your life on earth. Would you all agree with me on all that? Well, you know, then if we're going to be better witnesses for Jesus, we've got to talk more about Jesus to others. I mean, it's that simple. We just got to talk more about Jesus. We have to inject Jesus into our daily conversations. Yeah, it does take some courage. It takes some boldness. And that's going to bring me to my second point next week. All right, so, but we'll stop there for tonight. All right, so we'll continue this. All right, but let's go ahead and let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and we'll stop there for tonight.